So this is Freya Sechrest, and I am here with Mary Ingalls from Findhorn. Mary's going to be joining us in the Guyaneering Conference later on in the month here in July in the Seattle area. And we have a chance to talk with her a little bit about her work and what is calling her to join us at the Guyaneering Conference. So welcome, Mary.
Thank you. Delighted to be with you.
So it's a treat to be able to have a moment just to talk. You've been a longtime resident of Findhorn and have been instrumental in the development of the Game of Transformation, which I think is a really key voice for Findhorn's work with the subtle realms. I'm so pleased that you're able to come to the conference.
Me too. I'm delighted to be
here. Let's start in just asking you, what does Guyaneering mean for you? What intrigues you about the idea of Guyaneering?
I think one of the things that really interests me is the idea that we are each a fractal of the whole and exploring what that means. And I think that, you know, working with the transformation game, certainly with the larger collective versions, that's part of what we work with. We assume that, like, everybody in the room is a fractal of the field. We work with a particular intention. And then the idea is that everybody, in their own personal ways and experiences, works with the purpose that we're working with to make it real and actualize it in their experience. And that as we do that, we then embody something in the larger planetary field that can hopefully, I believe it does, ripple out and, you know, kind of in a way, what seed the subtle environment and the subtle realms that, you know, makes it more available to everybody else. But it's a very incarnational process. You know, it's not debating theories about things. It's about just really bringing something into embodiment in ourselves. So in terms of Guyaneering, you know, I think that we each in our own individual way can, to whatever degree we are able, just embody more wholeness in ourselves, in our relationships with our environments, with people, with the subtle levels, with our soul, you know, just explore creating community. I think my session in the conference is around embodying community, engaging collaborative fields. And so the embodying community part is, how do I embody in myself not just a consciousness of community, but an expression of community? And it's a practice, you know. I don't know that any of us know how to do it exactly, but we can practice, and practice makes, if not perfect, it makes us a little bit better.
Well, it is a living relationship, isn't it? Both, yes. Community, and I'm also intrigued with your use of the term collaborative fields. Could you explore that a little bit more?
Yeah. I think that this is something that I've been exploring more recently over the last 3 or 4 years. I realized that, you know how sometimes you kind of just look at what you've been doing and you realize it's more than what you thought it was. And I think, you know, I've been experiencing that. I think it partly, one of the things that triggered it for me was working more with subtle activism. And I focus a subtle activism group here that meets periodically, not all that regularly, but it's a kind of ongoing group. And and I also do work with subtle activism myself on an individual level, but just working with a group of people creates something much, it just feels more substantial, and that it has more power. And the whole, I mean, as you know, the you know, it's a process of standing in ourselves, bringing our own contribution in, connecting with the environment, the local environment, connecting with the other people there, and then also connecting with non-physical, subtle allies that are connected with the situation that we'd be focusing on as well. And that that's like kind of co-creating a collaborative field that we can then hold in a particular situation, or hold a particular situation in it. And there's just been some wonderful things that have been coming out of that. It's interesting, the group is growing. There's more and more interest in it.
There at Findhorn.
Here at Findhorn, mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have a time for sharing afterwards as well. And it just seemed there was something just, it feels like something's happening. I don't know that I can actually say what it is. It shifts people, you know, it shifts people individually into a different space. And I, you know, a number of times people have said, well, I've had an insight or a thought or a perspective that was really surprising to me that I didn't expect to have. You know, it helps them move out of, at least for that time, you know, habitual thinking or habitual responses to situations or preferences and things like that. I mean, they'll go back and they say, well, I still have my preference, but I feel differently about it. Mm-hmm. And that people very often feel more settled about the situations that have been disturbing them, particularly the political ones. Yeah. America, but also, you know, the whole political situation in Britain and, you know, other things that we focused on. And it feels that collectively we're creating we're creating a more substantial field, which hopefully can have more effect on the, you know, on the collective field. You know, I just have to take it on trust that this work affects the wider collective field, but it feels to me that it does.
Well, I know you and I have done some of the world work and subtle activism work there at Findhorn. And I know the impact on me, I can't deny that, as you say, it opens up a broader perspective.
Yes.
I still might have my preferences or my tendencies, but I feel it fitting within the whole more, in a more balanced way. Yes. I feel more identified with a whole as well as myself.
Yes.
And that brings me to an awareness to say, if it's affecting me, how can it, you know, there's some connection to the fact that it might be affecting the world around as well.
Yes. Yeah. I also have a sense that, I have a real sense of welcome and interest from subtle beings or allies that choose to come. I mean, sometimes I'm aware of them, sometimes not. But I just have a sense of like that there's a braiding together somehow of the physical, emotional, mental, subtle, incarnate and subtle worlds somehow that happens through this work, which seems to me important also in rebraiding the fabric of Gaia, physical and subtle. So that's one arena, and another arena where I've been exploring is with the programs that I run, particularly the training programs that I run with the Transformation Game, and you know, with the game and also with the trainings, we always like at Findhorn, whenever we start an activity, we attune. to ourselves, to one another, to our activity. And we do that with the game as well. But with the game, we also always consciously invite in the game deva, like the presence that works with the game. And the everybody chooses also an angel card, so an angel quality that they connect with and work with throughout the game. But more recently, what I've been focusing more is on the training programs. And what I've been doing in the last year or so is actually inviting people to the participants in the training programs, training to be facilitators, to actually co-create a collaborative field. And particularly with the advanced programs, I've been talking about collaborative fields that we create, co-create together, and also with the subtle beings, you know, and with the game, particularly the angels and the game deva. But you know, but we're also just open to, you know, people are now being open to more other, you know, presences as well. And there's something about this it's sort of using the principles of attunement at Vindhorn that we've always done before activities, but kind of like in a way like working with deeper dimensions of that. Or maybe it's just bringing more awareness to it. Maybe there's always been a deeper dimension that we just haven't been aware of. So with that, I've lost my train of thought.
Well, there's a certain spaciousness that our attention brings to that connectedness to the game deva, to these allies, to the sense of it flowing into action, I guess, in the world.
Yes, yes, yeah, yeah. So we just, and we just like consciously, certainly at the start of every day with the training programs, some of them are just 5 or 6 days, others are 2 weeks. You know, just kind of reconnect with the field. And I ask people to make themselves available to the field. And then we just like see what happens. And one of the things that I've noticed is that there's more of a, on the human level, there's more of a feeling of colleagues together, even though I'm the teacher in a way. And they're learning the game. There's a lot, and it feels like we're doing it together.
And that's partly by asking them from the, at the very beginning, to think of co-creating their yes. game field, to participate in co-creating that game
yes.
field.
Yes.
Nice.
And one of the things I've noticed, one is that, you know, I have certain topics that I cover during the training, that, you know, we who do the training have cover. Some of the material starts coming out of the group rather than out of me, you know, so, which is actually makes it much more co-creative as well, because I can then pick up on what they say and, you know, it's not me lecturing. And them responding, it's, you know, I do a bit of that, but it flows much more, and it gets into people much more because it's also coming out of them rather than just coming out of me. And it feels to me like it's coming out of the field. And I just have a much more tangible sense of subtle presence. Presence of the game deva, and I just feel that my sense of connection with the game deva is deepening, mm-hmm. And also that of the participants. They're, you know, initially introduced the game deva, and some people go, "What?" you know, we have a session on it, but people are really making their connections and being extremely moved by it. Because, of course, what it also does, in order to connect with the game deva or an angelic presence rather than just the experience of a quality, you have to be in a certain place in yourself. Mm-hmm. you know, have to be in a place where you are connecting physical, emotional, mental, subtle, spiritual. And that, I think, when people are in that space, it's extremely, I'm not quite sure of the word. I was going to say healing, but it's more than a healing. It's extremely holing.
Nice, holing.
It's holing. Yeah.
What I'm hearing you say is that in this work that is evolving for you with your trainings, that you're creating an experience of collaborative.
Yes.
You can talk about collaborative, and yes, we get together and we share ideas, but what I'm hearing you offer is that you're stepping more deeply into the experience of collaborative, so that yes, both you and your participants, because mm-hmm, I've heard you say it before as well, that you come up with new ideas.
Right.
You discover things that you haven't known. It's not just, and that's an interesting place to say this kind of collaborative field is part of what Gaianeering is about.
I think so, yes. And consciously connecting with like the angels in the game or the angelic level or the game deva, that adds dimension. Yes. Sometimes if I'm just facilitating a game, I can really feel the difference. If somebody is making that like inner connection themselves with an angelic presence, and if they're making that their own sense of connection with an angelic presence, there's an additional energy present in the game. If they're not, if it's just, oh, this is an interesting quality, I don't really have this very much, or angel of courage, I'm not very courageous, I never have been. or even if I encourage them to just like, or just imagine if you were, or is there a time you have been, just connect with that. If it's difficult for them to engage with it on an energy level, what I would call an energy level, the game still works, but there's something else that isn't there. And I'm increasingly seeing the something else. Uh-huh. And that is also what feels like. It feels like sometimes the games are like little funnels that can go through from the physical right through to the, I don't know, soul or spiritual, that that people can step into. And I don't really know how to describe it.
Well, that's described. That's quite fine. We are talking about some levels where we don't have as expanded a vocabulary,
right,
as we do as some just standard physical things. But I find it interesting to hear you speaking to the a qualitative difference.
Hmm.
What happens when people come bring their full self to the situation? Yes. And that,
yes, bringing their full self, that's it, thank you.
Also that the fact that either Gaianeering or your work with the game, it's not just a human activity.
Right, exactly.
Or that the idea of a collaborative field is not just human collaboration, but we're needing to open up to this element of the fact that there is a Gaia, there are multi-levels of life and intelligence, yes, and that by coming together, we create something richer or fuller.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose the focus of my work is having people experience that in their personal lives. Yep, and in their collective lives, and be open to the possibilities.
How can you describe a little bit, if you're working with someone, how they might experience that in their personal life?
That's also difficult to describe. Great question. I'm not sure I can put it into words. There's, in a way, the game works with, and my other work also works with people exploring different parts. The game, you know, you roll the dice, you move along a path, and you experience different things. You'll pick up a card that will highlight something that could be a strength or a resource of yours, and then you talk about where and how that exists in your life, specifically as possible. Maybe give a story. There may be setbacks, which would be, you know, difficulties that, so that you explore a specific situation where that the card of the setback was true. And then you might land on a service square and serve someone, or on a miracle square and explore miracles, or in a depression square. And recall a time of depression, kind of like re-experience that. So in a linear way, you're kind of going along different points, and which don't necessarily always look connected. You know, somebody will land in a miracle square and then on a depression. It's like, what? Everything was going so well. But there's something in the process of it, of like picking up all the different pieces, that makes a kind of, it's like pieces of a mosaic, that suddenly there's a patterning there. And all the pieces that didn't necessarily look all that connected, suddenly have formed a picture and have come into a whole. And that's kind of what happens to people.
Nice. That's a lovely image, actually. I do feel into that myself, where I've known various experiences that happen. And then there's a time maybe when I had an opportunity, a little more space to be a bit more reflective, and it could start to come together.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
It's an interesting idea that part of collaboration isn't just the activity of doing something together with other people. That what you're stimulating for me is that part of collaborative or collaborative field or the idea has to do with enough space.
Yes.
To be able to allow something, a new understanding or a new something to emerge.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. For me, it involves a kind of dropping deeper into myself, out of the purely analytical mind and into something deeper, more somatic, actually, more subtle. And it's from that space that the connections start becoming clearer or getting woven together inside me and outside me and in relation to what's outside me as well.
Very nice. I do know that having, putting some, I'll put it this way, putting some attention to creating an open space has facilitated my ability to engage with the subtle realms, with the idea that there are these multi-levels of intelligence in Earth.
Yes.
Because the impact of that is not always that I don't get messages or I don't see things or I don't, but it has to do with this field of connectedness.
Yes.
That emerges for me, that helps me feel a part of something bigger, and that I'm contributing to that.
Yes. Yes.
And that we're talking at all different stages of that. It might be on a personal level, it might be with a group event, or it might be with Gaia.
Yes.
There's all these different possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I thought it was sparked for me as you were talking, and then you said something about feeling more of a sense of connectedness.
Yes. It's an interesting sort of balance, the fact that you create an openness, which is not filled with anything, and yet that can lead to or open up the possibility for more connectedness.
Yes. 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 I find myself feeling very held by the field, and an integral part of the field, So for me, that's what was sparked when you said connected. I feel very connected with the field, but also very myself at the same time. I don't know. I'm just fascinated by it. I'm just learning a lot. I think I wrote somewhere once in one of the forums that we're being part of around it, that I realized in order to access it, I need to be very fully in myself, but I need to have soft boundaries, not hard boundaries. So they're kind of more permeable. And so things move in and out faster. I kind of let go of part of a sense of identity, but at the same time, I'm in a stronger sense of identity at the same time, but it isn't a me identity, but I'm here acting and being in part of something larger that I am both holding and held by, co-holding, and others are as well, both physical and subtle beings.
I agree with you that the nature of this is still very much an exploration. Mm. What we're touching into by trying to explore what is Gaianeering.
Yes.
And that it's also an exploration of this both and, or not always opposites, but you have a multifaceted experience.
Yes.
It's not one or the other.
Right. Yes.
And so the idea of the sort of the work of Gaianeering is being able to find the place where one can hold multiple, I don't know if perspectives is quite the right word, but multiple experiences.
Yes.
At the same time.
Same time. Yeah.
So it's because it's an interesting idea. Well, how does one do Gaianeering? How does one become a Gaianeer? Or what does one focus on? If I focus on the word sometimes, it doesn't lead me to know what's the activity of Gaianeering.
Right. Yes.
So the activity of Gaianeering is this element of holding opposites or creating a field or possibility or soft boundaries, as you say.
Yes.
Where differences can coexist.
Right, exactly. Yes. It's almost like parallel worlds sometimes. Mm. You know, that I find very, you know, that sometimes I experience I'm in one kind of state or I'm in another kind of state. But can I be in a place that can hold both of them at once in a way? Yeah.
So if there's anything that is the work of Gaianeering, it's finding where that place or what that field. There was a wonderful story that I read, and the author I'm not remembering, but he's a sort of a fantasy science fiction-y sort of fellow. Yeah. And in the world between the fairy world and the normal world, which in his story was in Los Angeles, it was set in Los Angeles, there was a human who was trying to get to the fairy world, and he noticed something out of the corner of his eye, and he turned to look, but he couldn't see. There was no space. It was just boxes in a row. But when he went back, he noticed again out of the corner of his eye, there was some shift there. So he walked towards it sideways. And as he did, it widened out until the doorway was fully there. He could fully see the doorway and enter into the fairy world. So the idea of catching those things that come up to us out of the so-called corner of our eye.
Yes.
And just moving towards it, not so much with the linear, that's directly it, but being willing to perceive the sideways perspective, for lack of a better term.
Yes, I love that. That's great. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I find more and more people are open to that. I think I'm more open to it. So maybe in my work with people, then I kind of make more space, and then, you know, together we make more space for it.
Nice.
Somehow. Well, one thing I wanted to say, we have this large version of the game called the Planetary Game, where we work with collective issues. And actually I brought a couple of them up with me because I feel like this is a contribution to Guyaneering.
Yes.
So let me tell you that last year we did a planetary game at Findhorn, and the purpose for that was, in a spirit of partnership, we intend gracefully to stand in and contribute our authenticity and presence, engaging with the world in creative and fulfilling ways, and shaping and energizing the emerging future. And then we had five playing areas, and people would choose one of the playing areas and make a personal purpose within that. And the areas were relationship and identity, nature and ecology, community and systems, the subtle worlds, and the emerging future. And in recent planetary games, I think the last three or four in different places, we put the subtle worlds in as a category, as an area to give the subtle worlds more space to directly engage. I mean, we've always had a sense of, you know, something moving. And that's been a really interesting experience. In one game in Brazil, where we had a very similar purpose about 2 years ago, I think, the subtle worlds, the player for the subtle worlds area, landed on a miracle square and created, I've forgotten what she said the miracle would be, but it was something to do with us all being open more to our subtle natures and bringing more of a spirit of wholeness into our lives, bringing the subtle into the material, bringing them together. I can't remember exactly, but it was something to do with that. And she created something, because in the game you kind of talk about what the miracle is and then kind of attune to that. Or spend some time actually, really, just really tuning what really would be the miracle. And then feeling into it and, you know, imagining into it what that might be like. And then doing some specific game-related moves. So people can move to different squares or take cards or do various things. So the player created something for everybody to do. And it took us a day to work with it, a whole day. And at times we were just slogging through things because, you know, and people were going, this is a miracle. Doesn't feel like it. But what we as guides needed to do was we needed to just hold the context. This is a miracle. This was created as a miracle. This is, you know, so we held like the bigger field in a way around it. Although also we at times were going, oh, and when it was finished, and there was a lot of hard work, you know, people were needing to shift setbacks and attitudes and beliefs and getting upset with one another. And it was all in a way like this was all the stuff that needed to shift in order for that subtle material connection to really come into being. So people were really, really, really working at it. And no, nobody left the room. You know, everybody did their work, whether that was internally or you know, with someone else. Sometimes it was work in small groups and pairs, or sometimes it was your own. Sometimes it was just one person out on the floor doing the work. And when we got to the end of it, there was just this palpable sense of lightness and connectedness in the room, you know, and it was kind of, yes, we did it. But, you know, it just, it's something around, I think we have work to do. We have things to shift in relation to connecting the different aspects of ourselves, the material and the spiritual, the material and the subtle. And, you know, and people really did it. It was very inspiring. I don't know if that makes sense.
That is wonderful. Well, I don't know if it makes sense to other people, but it certainly is touching to me. One, I would just remark on, again, going back to my idea of spaciousness, of the, what you folks are willing to hold, you as facilitators, what you have tried to open up for other people, what I see, what I experience from you, is the willingness to go the distance, as it were, not to cut off the process. And I think that just you saying that, I'm just going to emphasize it by pointing it out again to say there is a lot of work for us as humanity, as human beings, to do, to be able to make this connection. It's not what we often think it is. It's not so far off. It's not being more perfect than it happens. It comes about through our very deep engagement. Our very deep embodiment and our very deep being present to who we are and what's there for us to do. And what I hear you pointing out, and what is often hard to see in our lives or in the bigger picture of the world, is that you do that work, and then there's this lightness, and there's this connectedness, and there is a collaborative field, I guess. I'm looking for the word, because we don't always have the words.
I think what happened there was, as you know, as each individual in the field did their work, it freed up something else in the field that enabled others to step in as well. Actually, it just makes me think of that, that I think that part of that, that work is like it's working on the working at the edge. I remember when I was there a few years ago, and those little TED talks, and I said that I work with something called the edge, and I call it edgeneering. So there's guyaneering and there's edgeneering. Guyaneering is edgeneering.
Well, at the edge is where new things happen. You know, when you have where things meet, which is at edges, is where you have the potential for new growth.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you very much, Mary. Appreciate the talk, and I'm looking forward even more to the guy near the conference and the chance to get together.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that too. Very excited, quite very soon now.
Yes. So I will say again, thank you very much, Mary. I'm delighted to have this time with you, and I look forward to connecting again at the Seattle Conference at Bastyr University, July 28th through 30th. Our Guyaneering Conference. It is still possible to join us at the conference. If you're interested, you can write Lorien at info@lorien.org or visit the website www.lorien.org. We invite all who would explore this area of Guyaneering and collaborative fields and working with the full whole self, being a human in a Guyan world. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you, too.